choir has given us an invitation to come to the Lord. I wonder if we need to think through what does it mean as we come to the Lord. What's the significance for you and me as we come? Our sermon topic is, I am a sinner for whom Christ died. Let's look at this, what it means from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves in your presence and come with confidence to your throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that our worship of you to this point has been pleasing and honoring to your holy and majestic name, has been encouraging to your children who trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. And those here without Christ, may they question about what it means to come to the water, to come to the Lord, to find rest for your souls. And so, Father, as we study your word this morning, I pray that you'll keep the evil one from us, that you'll enable us to focus on you and your word as you would teach us from your word by your Holy Spirit, that we would be encouraged as your children. And those lost in sin would come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You may be seated. This morning we're going to focus for just a few minutes on verses 6 through 8 in this passage. As we think about ourselves and the spiritual condition that we were in before we trusted in Christ as Savior and what it means to be in Christ. First of all, in verse 6, you'll find these words that define the non-believer: weak and ungodly. Weak means in a hopeless condition, not able to save oneself. No way anybody can save themselves. No way at all. Totally without any hope. That's what the word weak means here. We see that God died for the ungodly. Ungodly would be godless. No presence of God in the person's life. No thought about God, just all focused on themselves doing what they want to do. In verse 10, we saw the word enemies. And look at the verb there, to be. They were enemies. To be means to be in a condition. In this case, it's a spiritual condition. And that spiritual condition was that of an enemy to God. Two things about that. Being an enemy means to be hostile. Means to be hostile to someone. The second part, it's personal. So you and I, who were apart from Christ at one time in our lives, were personal enemies of God. Personally hostile to Him. You think, well, I wasn't that bad. Yeah, you were. We all were. And so we were His enemies. And then in verse 7, we're told that, yeah, somebody might die for a righteous person, maybe even a good person, but for an enemy? You want to give your life for ISIS? For the Taliban? That's an enemy. And that's where we, you and I were at one time. But look at verse 8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The way this reads in the Greek is, but God Himself. It's stronger than, but God died. God Himself, He personally, in His Son, died for us. But God Himself shows or demonstrates His love for us. The verb to demonstrate or shows, whatever your translation might say, means they actually put words into action. How many of us know folks who talk a good game, but they don't ever play it? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They don't ever do it. But this verb, demonstrate or to show, means He actually does it. And this is what God did. But God demonstrates, notice it's His love. It's agape. It's a love of loyalty and commitment that God has given to you and to me in Christ. And He'll never leave us or forsake us. He will do what He says He will do. So God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners. Not that we were good enough to be saved. Not that we were nice and God loves us for our merit, because we have absolutely no merit. But God Himself loves us while we were still sinners. Now, what is a sinner? We use this word all the time. We all say we're sinners saved by grace. What does it mean that you call yourself a sinner saved by grace? What does it mean that we were sinners at one time? The word sinner means living in opposition to the will of God. Living in opposition to the will of God. So we were weak, we were hopeless, we were His enemies, and we lived in opposition to Him. With that spiritual condition and that attitude, God shows His love for dying for us, for giving His life for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was sent into the world to die for the sin of His people. We're delivered from the wrath of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was crucified, and He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me? He experienced the wrath of God on Himself for you and me. So you and I will never experience that. This is an awesome act of love that God has shown to you and me and thousands upon thousands of others that trust in Christ as their Savior. And so this morning when we observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, think about who you were, a sinner. And think about God's love for you and how He showed you that love by dying for you. And not only did he demonstrate that love, but then he's given us his Holy Spirit that lives within us. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for you and me on a daily basis is pours the love of God into our hearts. Has that made a difference in our lives? Has that made a difference in your life and mine and our attitude toward God? Our desire to love Him and obey Him and to honor Him in our hearts? I hope and pray it has. I believe it has. Or we wouldn't be here right now in this room worshiping Him. But as a sinner, openly hostile to Him, not caring about Him, and He cares so much for you and me that He died for your sin and mine. And we hold that cup of juice, which is a symbol of the blood of Christ. That blood, we're told in Leviticus, has life in it. And so Jesus poured His life out for us that we might have life. Atoning for our sin, not just covering it up, but washing it away and removing it as far as the east is from the west. Freeing us from the bondage of sin and death. You know, that's one thing I think about all the time. Have you ever used the phrase, "You make me mad"? Yeah, we've all used it. Well, you know, they don't have to make you mad. You let them make you mad. I let them make me mad. I thought, well, you don't have to be mad, you know that? You don't have to be mean, and you don't have to be a jerk, because sin doesn't rule us anymore. The Spirit of God does. And that's a spiritual blessing, one of many that we have. So as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, think about Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the believers at Corinth, instructed them that before they come to the table, they were to examine their hearts. And whatever they sinned that they saw in their hearts, as the Holy Spirit would reveal that to them, they were to confess that sin and repent. They come in the grace of God and being cleansed from their sin. And he said, if you don't do that, if you don't pray and confess and repent of your sin and ask for forgiveness, then don't partake of the sacrament. Because if you do, you're eating condemnation to yourself. Because this represents the body and the blood of Christ, and the bread and the juice does not become the body and blood of Christ, but it no longer a common use, but a holy use as we remember the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that each of us during the week and this morning and in just a few minutes will once again pray and search your heart, and any sin that the Holy Spirit reveals to you, you will confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. If you trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation, and you've examined your heart, you're welcome to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. If you're not a believer, you're condemned already. Do not partake of the sacrament. And if you are a believer and you're holding sin in your life, regardless of what it is, you don't partake until you confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness. So, brothers and sisters, let's take this moment as the ruling elders come who are going to serve today. Let's pray. Let's examine our hearts before we come to the table. Brothers, would you come forward? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you. As we've studied in your word, you've instructed us by your Spirit that apart from Christ, we were godless. We were hostile to you. We didn't want to live by your will. We had no thoughts or desires for you. And yet in that spiritual condition, you loved us. And you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins and to raise him from the dead, that through him we have eternal life. And even now he's seated at your right hand where he ever lives to make intercession for us. So, Father, we've taken this time to examine our hearts, to confess that sin to you and to repent and to ask for your forgiveness. And you've told us in your word that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to the table, not in on any goodness or righteousness of our own, but only in the righteousness of Christ. So you be honored in our hearts in this time of worship. For it's Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your grace to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you demonstrated your love to us by sending your Son into the world to take our sin upon himself, to satisfy your holy and just and righteous wrath upon him. I set this bread aside as a symbol of the body of Christ for a holy purpose as we remember his body. So, Father, impart your grace to us by faith for your glory and for our spiritual nourishment. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us commune together.
In the sermon passage this morning, Paul said to the church at Rome, as Richard pointed out this morning, he said that the blood of Jesus has justified you, has made you right with God, so that when you come and you receive this part of the sacrament by faith and you receive the word that is communicated to you now about it, that this cup represents the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf, and when you receive that message, and when you partake of this cup by faith, you enjoy the grace of being one with God and being right with God, as Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 5, of being reconciled to God. And that's what we remember when we come to the cup. And after supper, in the same way also, Jesus took the cup. And then he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father in heaven, we ask for your help to remember the Lord Jesus as you would have us. Help us to remember that you have reckoned our sins unto him, and that you have dealt with those sins in his death and his shed blood. And Father, I set aside this cup as a sign of that precious work, and as a seal of the grace of the new covenant that the Lord Jesus inaugurated on the night that he was betrayed. And Father, we pray that we would receive by faith the grace that this cup represents. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith, and that we would leave the sanctuary refreshed and full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this sacrament, and we desire to worthily partake. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let us commune together.
We're told that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we do. And this being Veterans Day, God used men and women to give us this liberty. Hunters prayed. Those of you who are veterans, would you come? Come on down with your wives, please. We need to know who our veterans are, so we can personally thank you for the service that you've rendered for this country. The rest of you just join us. This is great. Any active duty would like to come and stand, you're welcome to join with us as you're doing your tour now. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your commitment to truth and the love of God, that it can flourish in this country. And may it continue to flourish as well. Shall we pray? O God, our Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for freeing us from the bondage of sin and death in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and giving us a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding, and given us a nation where we still have the freedoms and the liberty to worship you and to honor you. I praise you and thank you for these brothers who have served this nation and you in protecting these freedoms. Thank you for those who have given their lives that we may have these freedoms. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to work in this nation. Forgive us for turning away from you. Bring us back to you through your church, through brothers and sisters in Christ, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that is where true peace and freedom comes. May you be honored in our hearts. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each of you now and forevermore. Amen.